Let's get back to the message. How do you become that kind of friend? Listen to James. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. All right, so right now you should have your pen ready to go so you can note this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Quick to listen, slow to speak. I don't know how many times I've gotten that backwards. How about you? I'm really quick to speak, and then, oh, wait a minute, did you? Maybe I should listen. I used to get frustrated at a college that I worked at and decisions made because I'd say, sometimes you guys decide first and discuss later. And it would help us out if we all discussed first and then made our decisions. So we're not really good oftentimes at listening. So now, notice he says we're going to speak. He doesn't say never speak. So we're going to get to the speaking part here in a few minutes. But first we want to focus on how do we listen well? How do we do that? We have to make sure that we are listening first. We're listening first. Someone has said there's a reason you have two ears and one mouth. So you can listen twice as much as you speak. So what does that look like to listen first? Let me give you a few things here. First off, you need to make sure that you listen before you jump to conclusions. You become aware of a situation, a circumstance involving somebody else, and immediately you just begin to jump to the conclusion. You know what's going on. You understand. You know their motivation. You know why. You know blah, 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 blah. You know. And so you just immediately jump to the conclusion. And then once you've jumped to the conclusion, you start talking. So listen before you do that. That's going to require some activity. Listening is not a passive event. Listening requires action on your part, intentionality on your part. So a couple things to help you do that. Don't interrupt. When somebody starts to talk, don't interrupt. That can be hard for some of us. We got things to say. Well, we start interrupting. I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going. Well, no, you don't know. You think. You believe. You're guessing. But you don't know. And then don't impose your solutions immediately on somebody and say, oh, okay, I know what you ought to do. What you need to do, if I were you, you know, we just start tossing things in there when we haven't really listened all the way. Because next thing we need to do is we need to make sure that when we're listening to learn. We're listening to learn. That is, we want to gather the facts before we speak. We want to make sure that we are getting all the information. And that requires we kind of lean in a little bit and say, okay, because here's the thing. If you think you already know, you don't learn, do you? If you've already made up your mind, you're not interested in learning anything. So you have to get kind of humbled in the process. But if you humble yourself first, you'll say, okay, I'm going to learn everything I need to learn here about the situation, about you, about what's going on. So I can support you. I can be of help. I can do whatever I need to do. So I need to make sure when I'm listening to get the information in. And I'm not just filling in blanks with what I already think it might be. And then as you're doing that, and this may seem like, well, that's kind of the same thing, but there is a subtle difference here. As you're listening to learn, make sure you're listening to understand. Listen to understanding. Think about this if you're trying. What's the difference between learning and understanding? So put yourself in a classroom. Some of you, that's not too hard. You're already there. But put yourself in a classroom. And the teacher is lecturing when they're talking. And they're giving you facts and they're giving you dates. And you're just writing it down and putting it all down. So you're getting the information, but you don't know what to do with it. You don't see how it all fits together. You don't know the whys and everything. You've just got the facts. But when you try to understand, then you're trying to say, okay, well, why did we have that battle in 18 blah, 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 blah? What was that all about? What was going on? What contributed to that? Now we're into understanding when we're trying to get those pieces in there. So listen, so how can you do that? Well, first, listen to the words and then try to picture what the speaker is saying. Listen to the words and then try to kind of get a mental image, because in here, the brain, it's making oftentimes images. It's not typing things out in your brain. You're getting images. You're seeing things. And so try to get an image of what they're trying to tell you. Wait for the speaker to pause before you begin asking clarifying questions. So let them say what they need to say, and then say, okay, now let me make sure I understand you correctly. Help me clarify this for me, because I think I heard you say this. Is that correct? And clarify this for me. And then ask questions, but only to ensure understanding. You're not asking questions just, you know, because you want to ask it, but to help you understand what you're being told, what they're trying to share with you. And then here's a big one. Try to see if you can feel what the speaker is feeling, if you can have a sense of that. Are they sad? Are they happy? Are they mad? Are they frustrated? What are they feeling? Can you get a sense of that? Because here's why. Before you speak, before someone takes your words into their mind and into their heart, you want a connection there. You want to have kind of to have earned that right to speak so that they hear you. Because if they don't think you truly care, there's an old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If they aren't sensing that you're kind of on the same page with them and you're with them and for them, whatever you say goes out the window. So they want to know this. And so you need to do that. And part of that is to listen to communicate your presence. Listen to communicate your presence. So if you're talking and I'm doing this, what do you think? Am I listening? Not so sure. Or if I'm doing this. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Am I present? One of the things I've heard over and over through the years, Byron, you're here, but you're not really here. You're not really present. You're somewhere else. Your mind is somewhere else. So make sure that you're listening in such a way that you're communicating that presence. Make eye contact. Face them. Be attentive. But be relaxed. Now, I know that can feel kind of weird, you know, like you're asking two different things. But you want to be attentive, but not like, but relaxed. And you're there. You're present. You're ready for this. Now, after you've worked on your listening skills, because you have two ears, why? One mouth. So you can listen twice as much as you speak. When you do speak, here's a few things to keep in mind. Listen to Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. What in the world is he talking about? I think what he's trying to communicate, or is communicating, we're maybe not hearing, is empathy. So we speak to empathize. If you're not familiar with empathy, understand this. Empathy is not agreement. You're not saying, I agree with you 100%. You're right. I'm there with you. Okay. That's not empathy. So that's why you can empathize with somebody that you are 180 degree different on viewpoints with. Because all you're doing with empathy is essentially doing this. You're saying, I understand, without using the words, I understand. How do you do that? One, you try to bring a word that identifies what you think is going on. So if you have a sense you're listening to somebody and they sound very down, and the kind of words you say, wow, it sounds like this has really made you sad. Yeah. Or if it's not sad, they can kind of correct it. Well, not so much sad as, and then they'll give you another word. But it shows that you're listening, that you care what's going on. And if you want more on this, just do a Google search and just say, you know, how to listen with empathy, how to communicate empathy. And you'll find all sorts of stuff and the words that you can use to kind of do this. You know, it sounds like are you angry? Are you disappointed? What is it? Because if you can identify what somebody's feeling. Now think about it. When you've been in that situation, you've tried to communicate and somebody just identifies, oh yes, that's what I'm feeling. You just sometimes, I happen to, from here, every now and then, you know, I speak a word from here and hit a topic and such, and people, oh man, you just spoke right to my heart today. You just, oh, that's really what I was thinking about and feeling, and you connected. And that's the thing, you want to connect. Because of that empathy, that remember, you can shout all you want. And you can speak all you want, but if you haven't really opened up that line of communication, something is always going to keep it from going all the way through. So learn how to empathize in your speech. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So when you speak, speak to encourage. Now, that's not just saying, well, let me encourage you on that. It's a mindset that says, I'm there, knows what he said, to build one another up. What I want to do is I want to help you move forward in whatever. I want to help you face what you're facing. I want my words to be helpful to you. I want to be there. It's not just my words. So I want to encourage you. Maybe you've heard me say this before, something I had to figure out for myself. Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be right with the person? There's a difference. You want to be right? You want to be right with the person. Whenever I do the spiritual gifts analysis type of stuff, I always come out, one of the top ones is always prophecy. Not foretelling, like I know the future, but forthtelling. You know, that prophetic voice of the minister, the man of God, blah, 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 blah. That type of stuff. Okay? I don't know why it does, but it pops up there. Which means I'm really good at speaking a truth, but I can do it in a way that does not encourage. I can lay you low. I can just get it out there and I can zing it. But so what? So what? If the purpose of my communication is not to help you and move you forward, it's not going anywhere. And here's something that's kind of related to it. Listen to this. This is Paul at the beginning of the love chapter in 1 Corinthians. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And what he's saying there, you can be as eloquent as possible. But if there is no love accompanying your speech, you're just a clanging cymbal. Just a gong. Here's another, I think we could throw this in there as another way. You're like clanging cymbal, trying to figure that out, you know. A fourth grader's recorder. Okay, just think about that. You know, this just noise. Your kid finds something and bangs and ching, ching, bling, bling, bling. And you know, like, oh, look, that's so cute for 5 seconds. And then you're moving on. And if our words are not accompanied by love to the person we're trying to speak to their ears, we're just a clanging cymbal. We're just blah, 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 blah. Because it's not getting through to their minds, it's not getting through to their hearts, it's not getting through to their souls. There has to be love. And so that means I've got to make sure before I speak, I've done a little spiritual EKG, and I've asked myself, do I really love this person? What is love for them? Now, love is not always just going to, we're going to see here in just a minute, love is not always just about saying whatever they want to hear. But I do have to ask myself, am I speaking this for their benefit and because I love them and I care about them? Or am I speaking this so I can justify my own self? So I have to really be honest and introspective with that. And the way that I do it, I've got to pray about that and say, Lord, search my heart. See if there is any way in me that is not of you, that is not going to be helpful. Help me get my attitude right. That's why, you know, one of the things you don't want to do, you know, you're mad about something, you zip off that text, you zip off that message, you zip off that email, and then later you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said it just that way. Because we haven't done our own heart stuff to make sure we're speaking in love. Well, let's build on that a little bit. In Ephesians, Paul writes, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, notice what he's saying here. There is a truth that needs to be spoken. Truth and love are not enemies. They go together. And we need to make sure that when we speak to our friends a truth, that it is being spoken in love. Again, that can be hard. But if we want to be heard, if we want to build them up, if we want to encourage them, because notice that's what's happening. We're going to grow in every respect. We're going to mature. Why? Because the truth is being spoken in love. There is encouragement. There is building up. You know, we're identifying, saying, look, I know this is where you want to go. I sense this is where you want to be. But here's what I'm seeing. Here's, from my perspective, something maybe you need to hear. But notice as we press it, where are we at in this message? We're getting toward the end. Not that end. Don't close up your Bibles yet. We're not that close. Don't get on the phone and start making reservations. We're not there. But notice we've listened. We've got to listen well. We've got to do some heart check and make sure we're going to speak from a healthy and loving place before we finally speak. But then when we speak, then we can speak truth. Now, truth is not my opinion. And my opinion is not automatically truth. Can I get an amen? You know, make sure you're speaking truth and not just what you believe. And if you want to say that we believe, then couch it as that. Well, I believe this. But if we begin to speak from the Word of God, something somebody has to hear, needs to hear, will be encouraged by hearing it, then they'll receive it. Because sometimes our friends are out of line. Sometimes they are way off. Sometimes they need to hear something that when they hear it, it might be a little painful. You know, when somebody tells me, and I've had an employer, a friend, a spouse, kids, you were wrong. I don't sit there and go, oh, that, I feel so much better now. It hurts. It hurts to think that I was wrong. You know, if I were to really kind of embrace it and say, oh, did I do damage with what I did? Did I hurt somebody? Just my whole, you know, self-image and the ego and the construct you have of yourself is like, oh, I'm not the perfect person I thought I was. It can hurt. But listen to this. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. But an enemy multiplies kisses. You see, someone who doesn't love you, doesn't care about you, they'll just tell you whatever you want to hear. They'll tell you how great you are. You hear the idea of, you know, oftentimes it's kind of a trope a little bit, but celebrities who have just nothing but yes men are around them. Yes people, you know, who just tell, oh, you're great, you're great. No one ever says, you're wrong. Don't do that. You hurt people when you did that, whatever it might be. So sometimes we need to speak that truth, but we've got to get it there so it will be heard and received. Proverbs 25, the Message translation says this, the right word at the right time, that's very important, the right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry, and a wise friend's timely reprimand is like a gold ring slipped on your finger. That is when somebody has listened well, and understood the situation. And at that right moment, when you're ready to hear it, and they're speaking from that place of love, and they speak a truth, even though it's a reprimand, it will be precious to you. It will be beautiful to you. It may be hard to hear, but you'll look at that and go, I needed to hear that. You ever say those words? I needed to hear that. It was hard to hear, but I see now that it spoke something about my life, about my direction, about my own heart, my soul. And I needed that. Let me give you an example real quick. In the Old Testament, we read about David. He's a king. He's done a lot of great things. But he sent his army off to battle, and he stayed behind. And he's there, and he sees a beautiful woman. And he says, I want her. And it's good to be the king, because what's she going to say? Not know. So she's brought to his palace. They have relations. And he thinks, fine and good. Got what I wanted. Then sometime later, she sends word, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. Uh-oh. This isn't going to look good in the press. So what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Oh, I know. I'll bring in her husband back from the battle lines to get a report. I'll get him drunk. He'll go home. He'll sleep with her. And then everybody think the baby's his. Except her husband has more integrity than he does, and he refuses to go. David's got a real problem, so he's got a solution. Sends word, get him up close to the battle lines, then pull back, leave him exposed, and sure enough, that's what happens, and he dies in battle. He looks so caring. I'm going to bring his widowed bride into my harem, and she's going to be my wife now, and now he looks like the courageous guy. Until one day, prophet shows up. By the name of Nathan. And he tells him a story. He says, David, there was a man. And he was a poor man. But he had this little ewe lamb. Just this little lamb. And they took care of it like a part of the family. And they fed it from the table and just cared and loved for it. And then their rich neighbor came and said, give me the lamb because I've got to go feed a guest. And they took the lamb away and slaughtered it. David hears this story, and oh, he is indignant. He is full of rage. That man will pay for what he's done. And then the King James has the just beautiful response, and Nathan says, thou art the man. You are that man. When you took Bathsheba, you were like that rich man taking the little lamb away. And David is pierced. He is broken. He receives it. He accepts it. He takes it in. And sometimes our friends are going to need that. We're going to need that from our friends. But we don't get there until we go through the process of listening well, making sure we're being motivated by love, looking for the right time, and speaking the right words. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how we get our friends to Jesus, and we talk about Jesus and the gospel. But I want to, for you who are here and if you're watching, I want to remind you of this good word. There is a God who made everything, including you. And he gave you a free will. So you could choose whether to love him or not love him, because without the choice, love's not no love at all. But he gave you the ability to choose, and we've all chosen. We've all chosen sin. We've all chosen some form or fashion to go our own way. All of us have gone astray, the Bible says. There's no one righteous. No, not one. Don't look at someone else and say, well, I haven't sinned because I haven't done that. The Bible's got a lot of sins. Take a look at. But here's the good news. This one who created everything created a plan that he himself would take on flesh, dwell among us, and die for us. He would fulfill the penalty of sin, that is death. He would take it on his own body. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And the hard word to hear is that we're sinners, but the good word to hear is there is a way to be renewed and remade and reformed and transformed. And that has all come to us through Jesus. And this morning, as we sing a couple of songs here, if you've not responded to Jesus, if you've been thinking about it and putting it off and wondering if today is the day, the good word is the day of salvation. Today is that day. And whether you come up while we're singing or you find us after the service, if today is that day that you are ready to say yes to Jesus, to be buried in the waters of baptism as you call on the name of the Lord, as you say, yes, Jesus is the Son of the living God, and I take him as my Lord and Savior. If that's all true for you today, will you listen and let God speak to you that today is the day? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word tells us that you've spoken to us in many ways, but that final word that you've spoken to us is Jesus. Through him, you've communicated how much you love us. You've communicated the way back to you. You've shown us the way, and it is all through Jesus. So help us now, Father, to examine our hearts, see where we are in relation to Jesus. And if this is the morning that we say yes to him, say yes to a relationship with him, to say yes to walking with him, to following him, if this is that morning, give us the courage of that conviction. Give us the courage, the humility to receive your love. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.